यशोदानन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदानन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना जामुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन जामुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి గ్రంథరా శ్రీమద్ భగవద్గీతకి. సో థ్యాంక్ యూ ఆల్ ఫర్ జాయినింగ్ టుడే. వెల్కమ్ టు ది ఇంటర్నేషనల్ సొసైటీ ఫర్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్. ఐఎమ్ ఇన్క్రెడిబ్లీ ఆనర్డ్ టు బీ హియర్ ఇన్ ద కంపెనీ ఆఫ్ గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్. వీ హ్యావ్ అమంగ్స్ట్ అస్ సమ్ వెరీ రేర్ సోల్స్, వెరీ సీనియర్ డివోటీస్, యు నో, హూస్ వెరీ ప్రెజెన్స్ ఇస్ ఇమీడియట్లీ అప్లిఫ్టింగ్ అండ్ ప్యూరిఫయింగ్. అండ్ ఐ బౌ టు ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ విత్ ఆల్ మై హార్ట్. Many of you have been practicing this process of Krishna consciousness long before I was even born. So I feel truly humbled and beg your kind forgiveness for this impertinence of sitting here on this elevated seat giving a sermon. But you know, sometimes little kid gives a sermon in front of everyone and everyone just kind of, yeah, it's so nice. And then encourage. So I seek some encouragement. It's like a young child has just learned to pose like a speaker whose elders are looking on, encouraging him to go on and give the class. So with that, I seek your blessings. Hare Krishna. So today, the topic is chanting the holy names, our best japa ever. We can always chant better japa than what we did yesterday. Always. So the goal here is to talk a little bit about this process of japa, what it is, and how we can improve it. So these are the different sections we're going to go through. The four gates, and then Prabhupada says, sit properly, engaging the mind and the intellect, and how to connect the heart. So we want to enter this session, this japa improvement discussion, as a kind of a sankalpa. Sankalpa means like a determination, almost like a contract with ourselves, that we want to transform our practice of chanting Hare Krishna. And we don't want to make just a marginal improvement going forward. We want to make a quantum leap in our japa practice. So that is the hope, because we can make repeated quantum leaps and there's no end to the depth of our chanting. Okay, so this is the, yeah. That's the transformation. We're going to go from worm to butterfly, caterpillar to butterfly. Yeah. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. महर्षिणां भृगुरहम् गिरामस्म्येकमक्षरम् यज्ञानां जपयज्ञोऽस्मि sthavaranam himalaya. This is the 10th chapter, verse number 25 of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is talking about the best among yajñas. Of the great sages, I am Bhrigu. Of vibrations, I am the transcendental Om. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, Japa. And of immovable things, I am the Himalayas. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that of all sacrifices, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the purest representation of Krishna. It is the simplest and the purest. So that's what we do all the time. We go on the streets and we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada he writes, this transcendental vibration by chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the sublime method for reviving our Krishna consciousness. As living spiritual souls, we are all originally Krishna conscious entities. But due to our association with matter from time immemorial, our consciousness is now polluted by a material atmosphere. Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. This consciousness is the original energy of the living entity. When we hear the transcendental vibration, this consciousness is revived. And the process is recommended by authorities for this age. By practical experience also, we can perceive that by chanting this Maha Mantra or the great chanting for deliverance, one can at once feel transcendental ecstasy from the spiritual stratum. So this Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada started this entire global movement by simply going to a public place, Tompkins Square Park in New York, and just singing the holy names of Krishna. And gradually, one by one, the souls around him became attracted to this magical sound. And those fortunate souls became his followers and assisted him in spreading this movement all over the world. Now japa refers to the meditating on the sound of the mantra with our full focus. And to help with this meditation, and to also help keep count of the mantras that you've chanted, we use these special rosaries or japa beads. I think you'll see a lot of our devotees have them. These beads here, 108 beads on a string, made of the sacred tulasi wood. And devotees chant a fixed number of these rounds every day. Those who are initiated chant 16 rounds. So Srila Prabhupada said, 90% of our spiritual progress depends on this one instruction of daily chanting our japa while trying to avoid offenses. If you're taking a college course, for example, and if the instructor says that 90% of your grade for this course is going to be based on this one essay that you're going to submit at the end of the semester, and 10% is all other exams and quizzes and other assignments. So that main essay, you'd put a lot of effort in it, wouldn't you? Because the others, even if you don't do so well, you know, it's okay, you still get 90% if you do, right? So this japa is incredibly important. And so we want to take it seriously. The holy name of Krishna is a magical portal that gives us immediate access to the spiritual realm. This access, no external situation or configuration or power can stop the holy name from doing its magic. And it's just between you and Krishna's holy name. And the portal opens up and his mercy is available immediately. You don't need to have any degrees or any birth in a high family, nothing like that. The process is very simple, very straightforward. You just chant Hare Krishna. Now, it is a simple process, but Krishna says, Ye yatha mam prapadyante, tam sataiva bhajamyaham. So as they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. So, Krishna reciprocates to the degree that we take this process seriously. So then the question we have to ask ourselves is, how dedicated am I to chant? That's our question. How dedicated? How dedicated am I to improve myself in this process? So Prabhupada said 90%, and you have to avoid what? Offenses. Yes, that's correct. You have to avoid offenses. Now, there are quite a few offenses, but the root of all offenses, Haridas Thakur says, is that even if one is successfully overcoming all the other offenses in chanting, and you're chanting continuously, the love of God, the real fruit, may not come. And the reason for this is that one is committing the offense known as pramada, or inattention. So it may be difficult to avoid all the 10 offenses, or even to remember the 10 offenses. But if you focus on the root of all offenses, pramada, inattention, then we can destroy the other offenses as well. So how do we give full attention? We give attention to what we love. But what if we don't yet have love for Krishna? Then how do I give attention? So what we could do is we could do things that show to Krishna that we are genuinely interested. We're really interested in developing this love. We have to prove to Krishna that we're genuinely interested. Okay? So some years ago, I attended this very illuminating seminar by His Holiness Sachinandana Swami on improving our japa. And so this class is like a condensed version of that 8-day seminar. It's an 8-day retreat. And we're condensing that into about 30 minutes. So here, you see a temple. Does anybody know what area of India this temple might be? Srirangam. That's right. It's in South India. Now, here you'll see their gates. You see those things that look like temple domes, very tall ones, towers? They're not really temples. The temple is in the middle. Those tall towers are the gates, actually. You know, so to get to the temple, you have to pass through 4 gates. So we have these 4 gates to completely successful japa practice. Okay? So what are the 4 gates? The first one is the fundamentals, the externals. The externals include posture, pronunciation, creating a sacred space where you're chanting, you know, nice, clean place where it's quiet, and you wake up early. So if you do these external things, you pronounce clearly, you sit properly, you wake up early, and so on. That's the first gate. Because now you're proving to Krishna, I'm serious, I really want to do better. So if I do all of this, it starts building our case to prove to Krishna that we are interested. That's all we need to do. If we prove to Krishna we're interested, Krishna takes care of everything else. You see? So, then comes it gets harder and harder, okay? The next part, that's the easy part, the first one. The next part is the mind and the intellect. So here, it's very important for us to have a clear understanding of what it is that we're doing. What is this holy name? That actually the holy name is Krishna himself. It has an identity. It's a lot more than just that, but that's part of the engaging the mind and the intelligence, right? And the third gate is opening our feelings, our heartfelt emotions, which are much stronger than our intellect. So emotions can drive us and can override our intellect a lot of the times. So if we can give our emotions to Krishna in a very heartfelt, visceral way, when we pray to him, when we chant his holy names, then you're crossing the third gate. It shows that we're really, really interested. Now, we may not have love for God, but we can have access to other love-adjacent feelings. For example, gratitude, appreciation, even remorse that I wasted my time, wasted my life. I still have tendencies to turn away from you, my Lord. So all those feelings are accessible more immediately than love, see? So we can take advantage of those. And our acharyas teach us how to do that. And the fourth gate is a very interesting one. The fourth gate, when you reach it, the handle is on the other side. You can't open it yourself. That gate is called the gate of mercy. See, that mercy is Krishna's prerogative. He can decide to give it to us or not. Now, everybody is eligible to approach the Lord for his mercy. But we make ourselves more receptive to his mercy by first giving everything we have got to reach this fourth gate. See, if you reach the fourth gate, that means you've given you can't reach the fourth gate unless you've given the first three. Like you've given your full energy into the first three. That makes us eligible to even knock on the fourth gate. Otherwise, we don't deserve to even knock on it. And then after we reach it, then what do? Then we wait. This is called dhairya. Dhairya means patience. We engage patience, patiently. Okay, so let's go over these fundamentals. The first fundamental, if you've heard Srila Prabhupada's japa tape, he interrupts the japa tape to give a very important message two times. What is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna? Sit properly, isn't it? Sit properly. It's important. Why do you think he's interrupting an important thing like japa to instruct sit properly? So what does sit properly mean? We sit up straight. Doesn't matter if you're sitting on the floor or sitting on a chair, doesn't matter, but sit up straight. If you go to someone's house and you want to open up your heart and express how much you're struggling and you really need someone to listen to you, and when you come in, they put aside everything they're doing and they sit up straight, ready to listen to you. That body language tells you that they're interested. They want to help you. So when Krishna comes in our lives in the form of the holy name, we can use our body language to prove to him that we're interested and respect his presence. It's not difficult to do. Sit properly. Just sit up straight. That's all it is. Yeah? Sit properly. Sit up straight. And rise early. Waking up early is very important. Certain times of the day are more conducive to fruitful japa. And you want to pronounce clearly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Say all the syllables, say them clearly. Sometimes we know we get in a slur. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. You know, that's not good. Then the cat will come. Hare Krishna. Hey mama, hey mama, mama, mama. No, Hare Rama. Right, something like that. So we have to be careful how we pronounce it. Then, of course, the environment that we are in. If you're studying for an exam, for example, right? Nobody's telling you you can't study for an exam in the middle of a rock concert. You can. But it's not the most conducive. Library or quiet room is better. Similarly, nobody's telling us we can't chant in a very noisy and dissonant environment. You can. There's no hard and fast rules, but certain environments are more conducive. So find a clean, quiet place, maybe corner in the house, if you have a little altar or temple room, or even if you go to nice weather, you go to a park where there's, trees and pond, something peaceful, sacred space. So, let us do a practical lab exercise. Sit up straight, pronounce very clearly, we chant Hare Krishna mantra one time. Imagine this is the best, now you're going to give your best japa ever today, employing the first gate. Okay? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Feels nice. Feels nice to do it nicely, isn't it? Yes. Feels the good energy, okay? Now, we went through these fundamentals, waking up early, sitting properly, right, rising early, pronouncing clearly. Okay, then the next one was what? The mind. So, our Krishna conscious culture is a culture of absorption. We have to absorb the mind in Krishna's holy name. That's very important. We've also been taught that the mind is the best friend or the worst enemy. A lot of the time we focus on the worst enemy part, we forget it's also a best friend. And we give up too early. So it's the worst enemy, there's nothing I can do about it. What do you mean? What about the best friend part? Don't forget that part. You know, take advantage of that. It is possible to control it. We'll do a little exercise to prove it to ourselves, okay? And then use the intelligence, our intellectual capacity, to remind ourselves of the philosophy that the holy name is Krishna. Here is Krishna. All his potencies are here in the holy name. He's present. So then we dedicate, understand that this is a dedication. My Lord, this what I'm doing is for your pleasure. Whether it gives me pleasure or not is irrelevant. This is for you. I know you like it when we chant your name. You've said that you like it, and so I'm going to do it. So now, is it possible to control the mind? Let's prove it. We're going to do a little exercise, okay? Sit up straight. I'm going to have you close your eyes if that's okay. You don't have to close your eyes if you don't want to. You can hold on to your purse, you know. Okay. All right. Close your eyes. Now imagine you're at home in the kitchen. It's early morning hours. The sun has not risen yet. You walk to the refrigerator. You open the refrigerator door. The little light of the refrigerator turns on. You see that there's a carton of your favorite juice. You take out the carton, you close the fridge door, take out a glass, and pour yourself a 3/4 of the glass of this juice. Can't wait to have it. Okay, experiment is over. You can open up your eyes now. That's it. Now, is there anybody who could not see the kitchen or the juice? If you couldn't see it. You couldn't see it? I'll talk to you later, okay? All right. Everybody else could see it. All right. You can see how easy it is to control the mind. You completely directed the mind there. You created the visualization in your mind because it's the best friend. It's actually that simple. Of course, when it's nice like juice, then it's easy, you know. But there's a lot of juice in Krishna's name too. See, there's nectar there, unparalleled taste. So now we're going to do one more Hare Krishna mantra. This time sit properly. Remind ourselves very strongly that the Lord is personally present here in his name, intelligently and with your mind. And with the respect of this understanding, we will chant together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. Now we come to the third gate. The third gate is japa with feeling. Remember, we are creatures of emotion. Nobody's emotionless. If you're emotionless, then, you know, your body temperature is the same temperature as the room temperature. Basically, you're not alive if you have no emotions. Otherwise, it should be a little higher than room temperature. Okay? So, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, whose appearance is tomorrow, he said, the holy name is heart deep, not lip deep. It's not just here at this level of the lips. You're crying out, you're asking, you're connecting at an emotional level. Vrindavan Das Thakur at the Chaitanya Bhagavat says, he defines bhakti like this. Bhakti means crying while remembering Krishna's name. You have to cry. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cried all the time. Srila Prabhupada exhibited tears of ecstatic love all the time. So many devotees have witnessed, can testify, seeing that amazing phenomenon. So we are also supposed to cry. We're told to cry. Krishna himself said in the Adi Purana, he says, I am purchased by one who sings my name and cries before me, not by anyone else. So, if you want to purchase Krishna, you have to sing and cry. We cry all the time. Well, we have to cry for the right reason. That's what this japa training is about, crying for Krishna. Okay. So the emotion that we want to chant japa with feeling. Remember, now some of the devotees in this audience may have attained love for Krishna. This message is not for you. This message is for those who have not yet attained love for Krishna. For us. Some people like us, like me. So we don't have love. You know, when you're in love, you can't stop thinking of Krishna. You're completely intoxicated. You're thoroughly addicted to Krishna. And even a little bit of an inkling of remembrance of Krishna will just flood your eyes with tears. That is love. But we may not be there yet. So what we could do is we can access things like gratitude. We can be grateful for so many things to Krishna. My dear Lord, you've given me this human form of life. Thank you. I could have been an animal. In fact, a few years ago, I was behaving like an animal. But now I've realized by the mercy of so many great devotees that I should not act like an animal. I should be a human being. So I'm grateful. My Lord, you're so kind. Only a small percentage of humans get this opportunity. And I got it. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you for Srila Prabhupada who came to this world. You sent him here. Thank you for this incredible process. Thank you for this temple. Thank you for our temple president, Mother Mukhya, does fantastic announcements and runs this incredible community. Thank you for the devotees sitting next to me. I don't even know what the name is, but thank you because they're sitting next to me and they look so nice. Yeah. We have so many things to be thankful for. We can be thankful to the point where we move to tears. There's nothing wrong with that. And the more we do that, the more we can move toward love. These are stepping stones to love, you see. Love is that like last rock over there. That's love. But we are over here on this side. So we can step onto the first stone, say gratitude, appreciation, even remorse. And then finally we can reach love of God, Krishna. All right, so now let us do one more exercise, lab exercise. Sit up straight, understand thoroughly that Krishna is his holy name. Express some gratitude or express some feeling, my Lord. Thank you so much for this opportunity to chant. This could be the last time I'm chanting your name. Let me thank you. And we'll chant together. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, the four gates have to be gone, you have to walk through the four gates sequentially. You can't jump to any, you know, you have to have the fundamentals, sit properly, pronounce clearly, show some respect. And then with the mind and the intelligence, understand what we're doing, that Krishna is his holy name, and learn to focus, bring your thoughts to Krishna. And with your heart, express your feelings, whatever positive or even, maybe even not so positive emotions, but bring them to Krishna's lotus feet with your heart. And then the final gate is the gate of mercy, where we can now knock and beg. It's a begging process. My dear Lord, please open up. Please open, I'm here now. I'm begging you for this realization that you are here in person. I don't fully realize it, but please, I'm begging you now. So with that begging feeling, with our heart fully softened, with that understanding, now at the fourth gate, sit properly. Sam, close your eyes. In your heart, you can cry to Krishna and beg. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we can make a promise to ourselves today, a commitment, that my dear Lord, I'm going to take a bold step of doing much better japa, a quantum leap in my japa practice. And I pray to you today that I can fully commit to being your devotee and chant your divine names with my full attention and love. You've given me so much mercy. I must try my best from my part to do way better. So I want to talk about posture. I'm going to go back to the first fundamental. Our mood affects our posture, isn't it? When you're in a bad mood, you'll be like this. You're really depressed. You walk like this. There was a guy who was just like this. He went to the doctor, psychologist. He was really depressed. And he came to the doctor like, "Doctor, I'm so sad and depressed all the time. Nothing seems to help. Not even my Netflix subscription. Nothing. Nothing seems to help." So then what the doctor did, well, the doctor went in the same posture he did like this. And for a whole minute, he didn't say anything. He's just quiet. And this guy, this patient is wondering, what on earth is the doctor doing? And then after 1 minute of silence, the doctor looked up and says, "It works." "What do you mean it works?" "Well, I'm also depressed now." So you see, our mood affects our posture, but our posture also affects our mood. If you're not feeling so good, try sitting up straight and smile, even if you don't feel like smiling. It will budge your mood, for sure. No question about it. So if you make it a habit that now I'm doing japa, when I hold my beads, my back should automatically straighten up. I shouldn't have to think about it. You see? So Prabhupada did emphasize this. He said, you know, back straight, shoulders open, not too stiff, not too relaxed. You know, sometimes you think I should be as relaxed as possible. No, no, no. Not too relaxed, because then you slip into the mode of ignorance. And not too stiff, because it gets painful. So align the spine. It's a little bit of practice, okay? So, now one of the aspects of surrender is to do things that are favorable to our Krishna consciousness. So we can, to help us sit properly, we can do simple stretching exercises. Like Prabhupada used to go for a walk. They kind of loosened up, and he insisted on going for a walk. It helped with his body. So we can also go for walks, simple stretching, you know, stretch this way, that way. Whatever works for you, you know, your neck. Simple ones. Check with your doctor before trying this. You know, some you don't want to break your neck. But yeah, some simple things that help you and alleviate some of the pain when you're sitting for a long time. Then there's this thing called pranayam, breathing exercises. They're actually glorified in Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm not going to read this, but you can look it up. It's in the purport of 328.9. That also seems to help. It's a very sattvic, mode of goodness way of clearing our nasal passages. Also helps clear the mind. It's quite effective, pranayam. One tip I can give for sitting properly, and this worked like magic for me, is you get a cushion, like a proper, like a sitting cushion, a thick one, and you sit on the edge of the cushion so the pelvic plane is slightly tilted forward, just slightly. Then what happens, your back automatically straightens out very comfortably. It really works. I mean, once I discovered this, I could sit for like 3 hours straight. Before that, it was every 5 minutes just, you know. So this helped me a lot. I thought I'll share what worked for me. All right? Okay. Some other optional tips, earplugs, if that works for you. So you're not disturbed, find a quiet place and time. And another thing is, this is something that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur recommended. You can cover your head with a light cloth, including your face. This way the energy of the sound gets contained. If it has to be light cloth, don't smother yourself with a thick, you know. It has to be light. But it really helps. I've tried it really works. Okay, if you're really serious, there's some things that you could try. Make sure someone is sitting next to you before you try this thing. You know, if you pass out, they can call the ambulance. Yeah. All right. Then there's another method called Trataka. Trataka means a visual focus. Okay, visual focus of the mantra. You can print it out, have a framed picture of the mantra or something like that. So that also helps. Let's see. So we talked about the four gates, and the gate two is the mind. So what is the mind? The mind is the impulsive faculty that accepts or rejects things based on what feels good. It's also a repository of our desires. The intelligence is the rational faculty that overrides the impulses of the mind for a higher goal. So the mind is where the emotions sit too. The mind is like the emotional childlike mind takes its cues from the intelligence. So that's the child. Let's say that's the mind. So you can guide the mind with your properly trained intelligence. And the father say, like, that's the intelligence. Okay? So the mind does look to the intelligence for cues on what they should get excited about. Children get cues from what they should be sad about, what they should be excited about by looking at the parents. Watch this carefully.
Yeah!
Oh.
So they're watching this soccer match, right?
Yeah!
I'm so excited. Oh, I should not have been excited. Oh, I should be, you know, sad. So this is the training of the mind. If your intelligence is properly aligned, the mind will be excited about Krishna. Why do you think so many devotees are excited? Whoops, sorry. So many devotees are so excited because they've trained their mind with their intelligence and they've learned to taste and know what we're excited about. So we can train our mind. But how do we train the intelligence? Siddhant boliya chitte na karo alash iha hoite Krishna lage shuddhrida manush. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Don't be lazy in studying. You should not neglect the discussion and study of these Siddhanta, the scriptures, the conclusions, consider them controversial or boring, because these discussions strengthen the mind, and thus one's mind becomes attached to Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, how many times Krishna invokes the mind? This is just a sampling of some of the verses. Indriyanam manaschasmi, of the senses, I am the mind. Maya veshya manoyemam, fix your mind on my personal form. Maya vesita chetasam, fix your mind on me. Mayeva mana adasva, fix. So the mind and intelligence is very important to align with Krishna. It's all over the place in Bhagavad Gita. Now, how do you understand this? You should know that abhinnatva nam namino. There's no difference between Krishna and his holy name. That point is very, very important. Another tip I can share is that when you're chanting Hare Krishna, keep every mantra discreet. Don't make it a blur and don't slur it. It's like offering discreet ahuti. You know what is ahuti? An oblation into the fire. Don't throw the whole thing like this, the basket of grains. You do one by one. Each mantra is a discreet offering. So like that. So the first Hare, if you say it a little bit more emphatically, it breaks it up. And it really works, bring your mind back. You should give it a try. I have a framed picture of this. And I have the Hare first one in yellow. And I sit in front of the framed picture and I chant. It really helps. So you can chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Now, big problem is distractions when we're chanting. Actually, the word distractions is massively understating the problem. It's not just a distraction. We're talking about major, major worries that stress us to no end. We lose sleep over these things. They dominate. They saturate our consciousness day in, day out. This is what we're talking about. What do I do with that? A cousin who just got diagnosed with terminal cancer. A mother who's thousands of miles away in India who needs urgent care, and I'm so helpless from here. Or major legal issues, or major personal finance, or career issues. These are major things. It goes on and on, this list. We all have them. You come to me and I'll tell you, oh, just surrender unto Krishna, Mahashucha. Yes, that's true, but it doesn't work so much. And then you'll cut me off saying, Prabhu, I'm not at that level that I can just become super surrendered and feel ecstasy, okay? These very heavy things weigh on our minds. They're very real. They have an effect on our focus, overall well-being in life. So how do you deal with something like that when we take up this japa practice? I'll give you an analogy. Suppose I ask you to hold this mug full of water like this, with the arm extended. For 5 minutes, you can do it, no problem. 10 minutes, no problem. 45 minutes, you feel some tiredness. And 2 hours, it becomes painful. It weighs a ton at that point. So what I'm asking us to do here today is not to pretend that these issues don't exist. What I'm asking you, I'm not saying don't bury your hand in this, your head in the sand like an ostrich and masquerade as a devotee as if you have totally risen above material concerns. No, that's not what I'm asking. All I'm asking is for the duration of this one round of japa, put down the mug. Put down your mug for the duration of this one japa, the mug that's full of your worries. Don't worry, after the japa you can pick it up again and start worrying again, no problem. Because we can't let it go, and that's fine. But at least we can let it go for a few minutes. You will feel a great deal of relief in your arm. Not in your arm, you feel it in the heart. And that relief you can offer it to Krishna. You see? So, when you have a properly aligned intelligence, you create a mental climate, a mood conducive to connected japa, because you understand the philosophy really well. And you understand, my Lord, this is for you. You can control the climate of your mind, of your heart. You can control it like we have a climate control. Nowadays, you can even do it on your phone, you know, remotely. You can set, you dictate temperature and humidity. Similarly, we can set our own internal temperament and humility. You see? There's nothing more important than this. Nama vina kichu nahi ko aro chauda bhuvana majhe. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, except for the holy name, there's nothing within all the 14 worlds worth having. The faster we come to that conclusion, the happier we'll be and the more successful our japa will be. So, we are now going to chant our best japa ever. Best. We're going to apply all these principles we learned because they're fresh. Sit up straight. Close your eyes. One time. Imagine the last time you're going to chant. Just imagine. Thank the Lord. Saturate your heart with gratitude. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said this beautiful prayer. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Appreciating the sweetness of the holy name. I'll sing it for you. Tunde tandavinim ratin vitanute tundavali labdhaye karna kroda kadambini ghatayate karnavude bhyas priham cheta prangana sangini vijayate Sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyad bhiramritai krishneti varnadvai. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. And Srila Prabhupada, he writes in the purport in Bhagavatam, he said, materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing him feelingly. O Govinda, O Krishna. It is said in Shastra that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of the quantity of sins that he's unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency. But, it has to be but, right? Prabhupada says, but there is a quality to such utterances also. That's what we're going for, quality. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord. So we approach the Lord in a helpless state of mind, in a begging state of mind. So with the heartfelt japa, with our feeling, it's very important to engage all that we appreciate. That heart is heart deep, not lip deep, just a recap. And we talked about the stepping stones, gratitude, appreciation, remorse. You know? Sometimes some people wonder, is remorse a valid positive emotion to develop love? Actually, even the Lord himself does this. The Lord himself expresses remorse. He says, Dur daivam idrisham iha jani na anuraga. That my Lord, your holy name is so powerful. There's no hard and fast rules. You've invested every single potency in the holy name. But unfortunately, I have no attraction for them. I am feeling so much regret and remorse. How is it that Mahaprabhu himself is telling us to do this? Because it moves the heart and brings us closer. I don't have any love. And it actually works. Our great acharyas, they sing, Hari Hari Bipale Janam Gavayu. I've spent my life uselessly. Wasted this human birth. Not worship Radha and Krishna. Knowingly I've drunk poison. Now, Prabhupada said we have to be 24 hours Krishna conscious. How is it possible to be 24 hours Krishna conscious? At least a few hours we're going to sleep. Right? However, it is possible. I have a son. Well, actually, he's 22, but I'm just showing like this. But when he was very little, like a toddler, and so I would see he's sleeping. His mother's also sleeping with him. And then while she's sleeping, I can see in her sleep, she puts her hand and says, Madhav, Madhav. Ah, yes, I can see. Even in her sleep, she's saying his name. She didn't remember that she did it. This is very natural. All mothers know this. This is called love. This is called 24 hours child conscious. If you can be in love with your child 24 hours, including the sleeping time, if we have enough love for Krishna, we can be 24 hours Krishna conscious. We see it. It's a universal phenomenon. In fact, when you're in love, it is not possible to stop loving. It's not possible to not be 24 hours Krishna conscious. And even if you don't want to, you can't push him out. You see. So what we want to do is we want to recover from our amnesia of the love that we actually have. Okay. So recap, the four gates, fundamentals, mind, heart, and the mercy. We pray for the mercy of the Lord. And at the fourth gate, we can only cry and beg. My dear Lord, I've given everything I've got. Please open your gate. Give me your mercy. I'm trying my best to convey that I am interested in you, my Lord. I know that I'm not perfect, but your names are perfect. And I'm trying to chant them. I'm now at your mercy. And when we pray in the mood of a receiver, then we have nothing else. When you have nothing, you get everything. Tvam akinchana gocharam. Janmaishwareshuta shibi. So he said, Tvam akinchana gocharam. You're only accessible and available to those who have nothing left. If we tell the Lord, my Lord, I have nothing left, honestly, then the Lord listens. Okay? So, I'll end with this prayer. My dear Lord Krishna, today I take the bold step of resolving to make a quantum leap in my japa practice. And I beg you, please give me a mercy. I'll try with my full attention and love. And I've been chanting for some time now. I'll resolve to abandon my old habits, bad habits, and take up all good things conducive to better chanting as my surrender to your lotus feet. You have given me so much mercy in the form of Srila Prabhupada's teachings and his example to follow. I'm going to make a commitment today to make a quantum leap. And from now on, every day will be our best japa ever. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We have 30 seconds for comments or questions. I ran a little over. I was rushing through the slide. This is actually a 7-hour presentation. But yeah. Like we do a full round in between session, in between these things, instead of just one.
Anyone
month.
Would like to give a feedback or any feedback?
Prabhu, thank you for the wonderful class. You were talking about the mind and what Krishna is saying out, the senses, he is the mind. what is the connection of the mind and the false ego? And why is it in my mind that I notice my false ego the most?
Yes. So, the false ego is actually not accessible directly. That's the thing with the false ego. You know how it says, mana buddhi ahankara? The mind, intelligence, and ego, false ego. The false mind we can control to some degree. The intelligence we can control to some degree and train. Remember Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, control the mind, absorb your mind, intelligence. He never says, absorb your false ego in me. Have you noticed that? Because we cannot control the false ego. The false ego, the ego just means what I think I am. So if the mind and intelligence work in tandem to align to the identity of what we are by doing things that are Krishna conscious, the false ego goes from false to true ego automatically. So the identity becomes established. Jivir sarup hoy Krishnir nitya das, that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. But to establish that identity, you have to work with the mind and the intelligence. And we saw how we can discuss, how we can engage the mind. The mind is a repository of our desires and is full of emotions. So that has to be trained. But it listens to the intelligence. You know that kid and the father? So the intelligence, if it's aligned properly, then the mind can be directed. Initially, the mind will do the wrong thing because it thinks, I should get excited about this. Oh no, intelligence saying, don't get excited about this. So that's how we train the mind. And we align, yes, Prabhu.
So is the source of the false ego the materialistic desire of the jiva, or is it born from Krishna?
That's correct. It says the source is the materialistic desire of Krishna, of the soul, not Krishna. Krishna does not desire us to be in this material world. Absolutely. In fact, he's very reluctantly sent us here. And he desires very strongly we turn away from this world and turn to him.
And also, real quick, pure devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, they forced Krishna, at least Prahlad Maharaj, he forced Krishna to appear out of a pillar. And so it's not that pure devotees want to control Krishna. That's not their intention. But pure devotees do control Krishna.
Yes. That's why Krishna says, I'm purchased by one who chants while crying. And Krishna also dances for the gopis. If the elderly gopis say, oh, I'll give you this little cup of buttermilk, if you just show us a little dance, and he'll do a little dance. The cute little boy. So they control him. But they only control him because Krishna gave them the control. You see. Prahlad Maharaj did not force Krishna to come out of the pillar. Krishna felt compelled to come out of the pillar. Prahlad Maharaj was not praying, my Lord, please come out of the pillar and protect me from my father. He didn't say that. All he said is he's everywhere. He always prayed to Krishna, but he didn't pray that please kill my father, you know. So, yes. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? I think there's... Okay. All right, I think that's it. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hari bol.
Madan Gopal Prabhu ki
jai. Hare Krishna.